It's half past eight.
It's half past eight New York time. Time to wake up America and stump the experts. Each week at this time, Lucky Strike throws a coast-to-coast quiz party. For every question we use, Lucky Strike pays out $10 plus a copy of the new Information Please quiz book. If your question stumps us, you get $25 more plus a 24-volume set of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Send your questions to Information Please, 480 Lexington Avenue, New York City. If our editorial staff edits your question a bit, don't fret over it. In case of similarity, we'll have to be sole judge of who shall be paid, and all questions become the property of Information Please. And now light up a lucky strike. This is the third birthday of Information Please. That means that we not only have a special extra guest, but just for this time, another master of ceremonies, our old friend, the famous music critic and composer, Deems Taylor.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, although this evening is something in the nature of a special occasion, Information Please will run along quite in its old carefree and unrehearsed manner. All the experts should feel perfectly comfortable, even if I don't. But nobody can help that. Now, about the board for tonight. That grand and glorious trio is back in force. The New York Post's Conning Tower conductor, Franklin P. Adams, the sports and nature lover, John Kieran, and the versatile and unpredictable composer and pianist, Oscar Levant. Our guest of honor, however, is pretty special. He is no other than Information Please's eminent Simon Legree himself, who for 3 long years has been cracking the whip and has now consented, just for this one evening, to see how the other half lives. Our guest expert tonight, well, at any rate, our guest, is Clifton Fadiman. Now, remember, for each question missed, Lucky Strike rings up $25. And that is paid out to the sender, plus 24 volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Now, our first question tonight is one of several that were submitted by the experts themselves. Any prize money and any sets of the Britannica that might ordinarily reward their efforts will go instead to the United Service Organizations for National Defense, who will apply the money and the books to their work among the various canteens and service clubs throughout the country. Now, our first question, as I say, was by one of the experts, by Mr. Levant. And since we're on the honor system here tonight, I trust Mr. Levant not to answer the questions himself.
I probably forgot it.
I think you boned up on it at that. The question is this. Can you name 3 critics, 3 champions, and 3 cabinet members who have appeared on Information, Please? 3 critics. Mr. Fadiman.
Clifton Fadiman. Louis Gannett.
Louis Gannett.
That's pretty
one.
Critical.
No, Gannett means one.
Mr. Karen?
James Taylor.
Well, thank you. I'm almost willing to include Fadiman. Mr. Karen again.
I'll give you the 3 cabinet members.
You will.
James A. Farley, Harold Ickes, and Mr. Wickard.
That's 100% perfect. But Mr. Fadiman.
Alice Marble was a champion, and
right.
Gene Tunney. A champion.
Yes.
Can I answer?
You certainly can.
No, I'm not
alone.
I'm not alone.
Oh, no, that's right. Well, I didn't say you may. I said you can. That's English. Yeah. Well, we're still shy of a champion and a...
couple of critics.
And a critic. At least 1 critic.
William Lyon Felt.
John Mason Brown.
Why, you overwhelm me, gentlemen. I don't see any of those names on my list.
That's
they
correct,
appear?
Though. Yes. Mr. Brown. Mr. Brown
well,
is on
afraid,
the program.
You're lacking a champion.
Yes, I lack a champion. And
can I answer that?
Well,
it won't count.
Off the record.
Helen Wills.
Helen Wills is right.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, that costs Lucky Strike $25 and a set of the Encyclopedia, which will not go to Mr. Levant. Now, the next question comes from June M. Bagley of Sioux City, Iowa. And partly as a compliment and partly merely as out of a natural desire to make him as uncomfortable as possible this evening, this question is directed at Mr. Fadiman alone.
Oh, goody, goody.
He alone is allowed to answer it. No one else. He is to get Well, we're going to let him get 2 out of 3.
That's what you think.
As literary critic of the New Yorker, Clifton Fadiman wrote these reviews about books. Now, what was the book about which you, Mr. Fadiman, wrote, "His book is as solid and memorable as its title is windy and forgettable."
You can hardly remember the book.
Well,
how does it go again?
"His book is as solid and memorable as its title is windy and forgettable."
That's a darn good phrase.
And a darn bad answer.
I sure had genius in those days. I don't remember it.
Well, you have to get the... All right, you're one down, Mr. Fadiman.
Oh, tell me. I can hardly wait.
Oh, that was Days of Our Years by Pierre van Passen.
Did I say that was memorable?
You said it was solid and memorable. Mm-hmm. And the title was windy and forgettable. It certainly was forgettable.
Well, it's certainly solid.
Now, what was the book about which you wrote, "Kern and Ruth, I'm sorry to say, seem to me watered Hemingway"? I don't know whether the rhyme is intentional.
What are the first
two? "Kern and Ruth, I'm sorry to say."
Oh, yes, that's Remarque's recent book called Flotsam and Jetsam.
Perfect. Flotsam.
Yes, Flotsam.
Well, I might as well be generous.
Well, Flotsam, period. Flotsam, period.
Yes, Flotsam.
Now, what was the book about which you, Mr. Fadiman, said, "A Broadway version of James McNeil Whistler, he is hardly inferior to his prototype in the gentle art of making enemies"?
Oh, that was Oscar. I remember that.
That's right. The book was A Smattering of Ignorance.
Mr. Levant's book, A Smattering of Ignorance.
Right. Published January 1st.
12th.
12th.
If they issued it the first, I didn't get it.
Went out.
That was pretty solid and memorable.
Yes, Mr. Fadiman came off better than I hoped. Now, our next question comes from Edward Butler of Brooklyn, New York. We have to get 2 out of 3 on this, gentlemen. Each group of 3 last names. Here are 3 groups of 3 last names each. Each group is incomplete and lacks one name to become a complete quartet. Supply the missing person. The first group is Tinker, Evers, Chance. Mr. Karen.
Steinfeld.
Right.
Third baseman, Chicago Cubs.
Right. Still right, I mean. The second group is Wilson, Clemenceau, and Lloyd George. Mr. Fadiman?
Orlando, was it?
Never answer a question with an upward inflection.
Orlando, was it?
Never answer a question with
was
it.
Orlando, it was.
Yes,
Orlando.
It was Orlando. He was one of the big 4 at Versailles.
Now, what was Orlando's last name?
Last name was Orlando. His first name was Vittorio. And a good Italian name.
Yes, sounds like an opera.
The third group is Owen, Otis, and Bailey.
Are those elevators?
Who's the fourth person? They elevate.
Barnum.
No, not Barnum. It's Owen, Otis, Bailey, and Wilkie, the law firm of which Wendell L. Wilkie is wishing to become a member. You scraped through under the wire there, gentlemen. Now let's try one by Mrs. Elliot Feynman of Washington, D.C. Again, we have to get 2 out of 3. In what current books do each of the following objects occur? First, a plan of a bridge.
A what?
A plan of a bridge. Mr. Fadiman?
That's Ernest Hemingway's book, For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Perfect. Absolutely right.
Thank you.
I would have said the Bridge of San Luis Rey, except that the plan actually occurs in the book, is mentioned, is part of the book. Number 2, metallic tractors.
What's that kind of a tractor?
Well, they're made of metal. Doesn't
current
specify
book?
The metal.
Current book?
A current
yes.
book in which tractors.
Would that be Grapes of Wrath?
Well, it isn't.
An economic version. A New Deal version.
No, it's not a New Deal version. No, it's in Oliver Wiswell by Roberts.
Oh, yeah,
Thomas Buell, a friend of Wiswell's, used them.
Oliver Wendell Holmes wrote all about them nearly 100 years ago.
He did. Well, he didn't write it in Oliver Wiswell, though. And the full name was Perkins Metallic Tractors.
That's right.
Well, certainly it's right. I got it right here on a card. I see now how Mr. Fadiman answers all. He knows all the answers. So
well, the man made a fortune in England with them.
Yes. Now, in
who
what
did?
Book
I
is
can't
a
can't follow this at all,
gentlemen? Please, now you've got
Wiswell,
one more
Bailey,
chance.
And Wilkie.
You have one more chance. In what book does a windshield wiper occur? What, Mr. Fadiman?
Jan Struther's book, Mrs. Miniver.
Right. In what, do you remember in what connection?
Yes.
Oh, well, please tell us.
It's in connection with the sound that Mrs. Miniver imagines the windshield wiper to make.
Yes.
It comes out something like squeegee, I think.
No, beef tea.
Beef tea.
Beef
yes.
tea.
Yes, that's
yes.
right.
Very good.
How good of you, Mr. Taylor.
How good of you, Mr. Fadiman.
I think we've had enough of this.
Yes, from now on.
From now on, include us in.
Well, I can't help it if Fadiman shows up. He's been studying. Now, this one is from Catherine A. Harvey of Silver Spring, Maryland. We have to get two out of three. Yes, you'll be included in, Mr. Levant. The pianist will play the first solo piano passage of the first movement of three Mozart piano concertos. Any of you gentlemen is free to identify each of them.
You mean an all Mozart?
It's an all Mozart. Now, this is the first piano passage of the first movement of a Mozart piano concerto. Mr. Levant.
What are we supposed to do? Say that that's the D minor concerto?
Yes.
It's D minor concerto by Mozart.
Yes. Oh, and you know the number? You don't have to.
Well, the numbers, I don't even, I'm not taken in by the Kochel or whatever. Say that? I don't like those numbers.
Kochel, but this is unimportant.
It's in the 400s,
It's Kochel 466, so who cares?
The Battle of Hastings in Mozart's time.
Here again is the first solo piano passage of the first movement of another Mozart piano concerto. Again, Mr. Levant.
Well, all you have to do is hear what key it's in and say it's in A major.
I know, but...
A major. Mozart concerto, I said, Fadiman.
How true.
A major.
It's an A major number.
I didn't know we were
good, Mr. Fadiman.
All you have to do is flatter him a bit. You can come right in.
Number three. Here's another Mozart concerto.
Plays too well. I wish you'd stop him.
Yeah.
Well, that's in the key of G, and I don't know what key the concerto was in, so I'm going to leave that for the other boys in my charitable way.
Well, Mr. Fadiman, Mr. Adams, and Mr. Kieran think it's the concerto in C major, number 21.
I would have said G.
Well, there you are. G whiz. Well, at any rate, you've got two out of three, and I'm so happy that I'm over here instead of over there. A question from Francis Downing of New York City. We have to get all these. This is rather elaborate. Trace the course of a marriage through about 50 years with book or play titles that describe four different stages. Now, the first stage, let's say, is up to and possibly including the wedding.
What do you mean, play titles?
Mr. Levant?
Bet it's a boy.
No, that doesn't
Mr. Fadiman.
I'd begin with Wasserman's The World's Illusion.
Very good. Mr. Adams.
I would begin with Jesse Williams's Why Marry?
Well, that's... Mr. Kieran?
There's a book called The Winning of Barbara Worth, wasn't it?
Excellent. Yes, Mr. Levant?
Of Mice and Men.
out of order. Mr. Adams?
Another one of Jesse Williams called And So They Were Married.
Very good. Mr.
We have to get on with this.
Yes.
There was a play called The First Year that I think Frank Craven wrote.
This is up to and including marriage. Only including... Mr. Levant.
Either Confessions of a Young Man or Confessions of an Opium Eater. I don't care which.
Well, that's enough. Well, they're married now. Now the second stage.
Now we can have the first year.
Now you can have the first year, yes. Mr. Adams?
Five Little Peppers and How They Grew.
That never happened in the first year, Mr. Adams.
It did. It did up in Calendar, Ontario.
I know. Never mind. Mr. Levant.
That was a governmental project, incidentally. Can I...
yes.
Gay divorcee.
The Great Divorcee?
No, the Gay
premature.
Divorcee, not the Great.
You're awfully premature. Mr. Karen.
My son.
That makes seven children. Two sons.
Why Marry would be good now.
Well, no time for comedy or Married or the Honeymoon. Now the third phase. Now the little tots, you come in.
That's you, Adams. Go ahead now with your tots.
Joe,
a book
the
or play.
The book Yearling.
The Yearling?
I'm back for
it. Not bad. Mr. Karen?
Dombey and Son.
Yes?
They're in business now.
Excellent. You could have your Five Little Peppers, Mr. Adams, and The Birth of a Nation, and Four Daughters, and The Children's Hour. Now the final stage of the marriage. You can be cynical or charitable.
Why marry again?
Good. Mr. Adams?
The Golden Honeymoon.
Excellent. Mr. Karen?
Goodbye to all that.
Strange and little, the bill of divorcement, see my lawyer, or up from slavery. so far, Lucky Strike has paid out just $25.01 of the Encyclopedia Britannica. And now I wonder how many of us are smoking more than we used to. Mr. Cross has something to say on that subject.
Mr. Taylor, I think most of us are smoking more today. That's why 1941 smokers should make sure that they are smoking a milder cigarette. Now, the only way to get mild tobacco is to pay the price for it at the auctions. So it's important for you to know that at market after market, the American Tobacco Company pays higher prices to get the fainter, the milder tobaccos. For example, at auctions in Henderson, North Carolina last season, American paid 22% more per pound for the tobacco it bought for its cigarettes and other tobacco products. Yes, 22% above the average market price paid for all the various types and grades of tobacco sold there. And the best we bought will go to Lucky's. So if you're smoking more today, remember, Lucky's pay the price for mildness. Mr. Taylor, have I helped show why our listeners should smoke Lucky Strikes in this year of 1941?
You have quoted both precept and example, Mr. Cross, and it took you only 56 seconds. And now we have a question coming from Franklin P. Adams. And again, I beseech Mr. Adams not to answer.
Any address?
No address. NYC. Now, these quotations must be exact. Finish the line, breathes there. Mr. Fadham?
A man with soul so dead that never to himself hath said, this is my own, my native land.
That's what I would have said, too. Anybody else an opinion? Oh, we have to get all of these, by the way.
Was that wrong?
Yes. Oh, yes. Frightfully wrong. Yes, it's breathe there, breathe there.
All right, Adams, you wait till next week.
No, it is breathe there, the man with soul so dead.
Didn't I say the man?
No, dear, you didn't. Now, what is the word that follows? 'Twas the night before Christmas.
I don't want to...
Mr. Levant?
Well, it's Mr. Fadiman's question, so I'll let him do
no,
it.
No, it's Adams'
no,
question.
No, he spoils it first. No,
oh. Mr. Fadiman?
I think it's all, isn't it?
'Twas the night before Christmas, all.
And all.
Well, I would have said and, too, but it's while.
While?
Uh-huh. What grow
well, from... Adams is writing these things himself.
I know, he wrote the poem. What grow from little acorns?
Mr. Big acorns.
No. Something.
If you want to
something, lucky... for, yeah, Mr. Kieran?
Well, I'll try it. I know there's a catch in it, but I'd say tall oaks. From...
You're absolutely right.
No catch
the sports expert is the only one who knows English literature. And now, Mr. Adams, in your turn, finish what comes after water, water everywhere.
Nor any drop.
Very good.
That isn't in there.
I know, but I... no, but I fought that question out in high school. Oh, that stumps us. And costs Lucky Strike $25 and 24 volumes of the well-earned Encyclopedia Britannica.
And Papa gets honorable mention, I suppose.
That's all.
Mr. Fadiman's luxurious.
Now a question from Mrs. James S. Chipman of Chicago, Illinois. Give four popular expressions that mention a term or title of royalty or nobility. Like, Mr. Karen?
He won the Duke in a prize fight.
Is that an authentic?
It I'll certainly take your word is. For it.
Excellent. Mr. Fadiman.
Take the count.
Very good. Mr. Levant?
That's so much hot Earl.
Well, if he comes from the borough of Brooklyn, that's perfectly good. Mr. Adams?
Fadiman has no peer.
Well, is that nobility?
Sure, peer.
I don't mean has Fadiman nobility, but Mr. Levant.
Surtax.
Well, you boys really are improving. Well, I'll hastily pass over that one. Get on to one that's... Oh, yes. From James E. Haig of Bridgeport, Connecticut. You've got to get two out of three. And this is practically pure Fadiman, I should say. The Missing Persons Bureau requests information, please, concerning the disappearance of the following literary characters. Information should include identification and the explanation for the disappearance of the character. Now, the first is Axel Heist, reported to have been drowned.
Well, it's in Conrad.
In Conrad,
yes. Joseph large, Conrad.
Yes, it's still a large order.
And it's, I think, Lord Jim, isn't it?
You're not allowed to think on this program, Mr. Fadiman.
Mr. Kieran, isn't it, Lord?
I never was.
Why don't you ask Conrad?
Why, it's from Conrad's Victory.
That's not mine, apparently.
No. Well, it's from Conrad's Victory or The Defeat of Fadiman. And Heist is reported to have swam or swum out to meet the sun.
Well, I'll take that with my chin up.
Very good.
All right.
The second person is Emmy Ritter, an actress, last known to be living in Germany. Mr. Levant?
Well, that's an escape.
Yes.
Well, what do you want to know about her? She was supposed to have escaped from the concentration camp in a coffin. Her son helped her.
She did escape, then.
Well, I don't know how successful the actress was.
Don't let me intimidate you. She did. The third is Charles Strickland, a broker who deserted his wife and child, Mr. Levant.
That's a story of Paul Gauguin fictionized, and he went to the South Sea Islands where you pay a lot of money to see what he did.
Yes, Mr. Adams?
The Moon and Sixpence.
The Moon and Sixpence is right. By,
Mom. Mom. Somerset, W. W. Somerset.
You mean hello, Mom, or... Oh, Somerset.
Hiya, Mom.
Hiya. Now, here's one question that everyone is free to answer, except Mr. Karen, who submitted it. We have to get all of these. Here are the names of three great philosophers and teachers. Name the most famous pupil of each one. Name the most famous pupil, for instance, of Socrates. Mr. Fadiman.
Plato.
And who was Plato's most famous pupil? Mr. Fadiman.
I should say Alcibiades.
No, would anyone else say Socrates. Anything? Mr. Levant?
Aristotle.
Aristophanes.
Well, Aristotle was closer. It was. And who was Aristotle's greatest pupil?
Alexander of Macedon.
Right. If we only hadn't muffed that first one, it wouldn't have cost Lucky Strike $25 and the set of the Encyclopedia Britannica. And now from Richard C. Carroll of New Haven, Connecticut. I have to answer all of these, gentlemen. If you were served the following meal, what would be the cheese with each course? First, stuffed celery. Be stuffed with what? Mr. Levant?
Cream cheese with some green things in them.
No.
Mr. Adam.
Roquefort.
Correct. Minestrone. Soup.
Parmesan or Parmigiano.
Parmigiano, or yes, very good.
Si, si.
Boccaccio cavallo.
Yes, boccaccio cavallo.
Yes, I didn't realize I knew that. Oh, by the way, we only have to get to 4 out of 5 on this, gentlemen. I've revised that. Now, a Welsh rabbit, what kind of cheese?
Oh, you can use
Mr.
it.
Mr. Adams?
I think that is known as American cheese.
Yes.
That's a loose term.
It has another name. Mr. Kieran.
Mousetrap cheese.
Mr. Padman.
You can use almost any cheese of the cheddar type for that, I should
say.
Well,
it's the cheddar type that is important.
Yes.
What we call American or rat cheese is a variety of cheddar.
Yes, that's right.
Sour cream. Mr. Levant.
Pot or cot? Pot or cottage cheese?
And with port. What cheese with port?
Stilton.
Fadiman. Drinks Stilton with his port.
And eats his port. That's right.
And
he's still
in a storm.
When you, you're all... now from Marion M. Miller of Newport Richey, Florida. This is one about battles, and we have to win 2 out of 3 of them. What battle between Europeans and Asiatics gave its name to a modern competitive sport? Mr. Fadiman?
Marathon?
Never answer a question with an upward inflection.
Yeah. I will learn that sometime or other.
Oh, yes. It gives you great confidence. Yes, the Battle of Marathon. Marathon, I'm getting it too now.
Saracen.
Marathon. Do you know who the Greek general was?
Oh, Joe Marathon, probably.
No. I have it right here. It was Miltiades. And you know who the runner was?
Pheidippides.
Yes, and what did he say?
Here
Eureka,
I
have found it.
What battle?
Rejoice.
He said Kyrate Nicomen. What battle in the American Civil War has given its name to the czar of a favorite American sport? Mr. Carey. No?
Kennesaw Mountain.
Kennesaw Mountain.
Kennesaw Mountain Landis being the czar.
Right. It was a battle fought 25 miles northwest of Atlanta, June 1864. What battle with the Indians became the nickname of an American who ran for president? Mr. Karen.
Tippecanoe.
Right. Now from Mrs. Elizabeth Green of Arcadia, California. Have to get 2 out of 3. Where in fiction would you find these thieves? A petty thief who finally stole a jewel of great beauty and supernatural power from a temple. Mr. Fadiman?
I think there is a story by Lord Dunsany which has that as his plot.
No, that's Five Thieves. I know what you're thinking
of. Five times correct?
No, you're one-fifth right. No, it was The Thief of Baghdad, as played by Douglas Fairbanks. Now, in what play does a lady thief occur who marries one of her intended victims, Mr. Levant?
The Lass and Mrs. Shaney.
Right.
By Lonsdale.
Yes. And in what play does a doctor become a thief in order to study the effects of crime? Mr. Levant?
I think it's The Amazing Dr. Clitoris.
Right. Do you remember who played it as a play?
Yes, Cedric Hardwick.
Yes,
Cedric Hardwick. Eddie Robinson, Sir Edward Robinson. He's a good actor, too.
No, Lord Edward Robinson, isn't it? Well, gentlemen, now, with a few... I'm new to this business of losing money. I always forget. Lucky Strike announces tonight a loss of $75 and 3 sets of the Encyclopedia Britannica, all directly due to Mr. Fadiman, I'm sure. And now, with a few mental reservations, Mr. Cross tells us of a bouquet he received.
The other evening, Mr. Taylor, I met a gentleman, a regular listener to this program, who complimented me on not making unsupported claims for Lucky's. Instead, he told me, you prove Lucky's buy finer tobaccos by quoting facts and figures. You've really convinced me, and I'm going to try Lucky's one of these days. Well, said I, why not now? Why put it off till tomorrow? And, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask, how many of you are putting off actually trying Lucky's? You know that we pay the price to get the finer, milder tobaccos for Lucky's. For example, 21% more than the market average in Covington, Kentucky, 35% more in Knoxville, Tennessee, and so on. But just what this means in terms of your own smoking enjoyment, you'll never know until you try Lucky's. So why not make the very next package of cigarettes you buy Lucky Strike?
Thank you, Mr. Cross. And I want to convey our special thanks to Mr. Fadiman for sticking his celebrated neck out this evening and assure him that when I said that he was really responsible for losing those encyclopedias...
I meant it, I know.
I meant it, yes. I'm glad you... I thought you, maybe you thought I was only fooling. And by the way, how does your neck feel?
Oh, terrible. All scarred.
Well, that's funny. I thought it came up without a nick.
No.
Oh.
It'll be nice to be where you are next week.
Oh, won't it? And vice versa. As a matter of fact, next week we are back on the old schedule again with Mr. Fadiman in the driver's seat, Mr. Kieran and Mr. Adams upholding their end. And as our guest, we have a co-educational program next week. We have two lady guests, the outstanding actress and deserves Cornelia Otis Skinner and the author of the bestseller, Mrs. Miniver, Jan Strother. Remember, for every question we use, whether or not it's answered correctly, and it frequently isn't, the sender gets $10. If the question stumps our experts, you not only get $25 more, but in addition, the complete 24-volume set of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Send your letters with the questions and the correct answers to Information, Please, 480 Lexington Avenue, New York City. And now a parting message from Mr. L.A. Speed Riggs, the famous tobacco auctioneer from Goldsboro, North Carolina.
And that chant, ladies and gentlemen, is just another way of saying that if you haven't tried a Lucky lately, you don't know what you're missing. By the way, if you're going visiting this weekend, we suggest you bring your host or hostess a carton of Lucky's. It's sure to make a hit. Remember, with independent tobacco experts, with men who know tobacco best, it's Lucky's 2-to-1.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.